This is Steve Braswell, and welcome to my podcast. Last week, we started a brand new series, 5 Ways God Wants Us to Look. Last week, we looked at the first way, look up. We worship God. Today, we look at the second way God wants us to look down. We dig into God's Word. How would you like to be a preacher? Now, I know there are some Sundays you might like to preach, either because you want to sound off on a particular issue or because you'd make the sermon shorter than your preacher. But seriously, how would you like to preach every Sunday in times like ours? Notice how we use the words preaching and sermon. We say to our parents, "Don't preach to me." We say to those who are trying to correct us, "Spare me the sermon." While the first dictionary definition of preach is to deliver a sermon, the second definition is to exhort in a tiresome manner. And that's actually in the dictionary. Now, those of you who know me know that my number one all-time favorite TV show is The Andy Griffith Show. Perhaps you remember seeing the episode where everyone has gone to church and their normal pastor, Reverend Tucker, has brought in Dr. Breen as a special speaker from New York City. You can tell he is a great orator, and he speaks with great flowery words. But Gomer and Barney are having trouble nodding off. Then at the end, he gets softer and slows down and says, "So relax, slow down, take it easy. What's your hurry?" And of course, they immediately, their heads pop up. The change in volume wakes them up. Now, I've listened to hundreds, if not thousands, of sermons in my lifetime. I know it can be difficult at times to stay focused and alert during a sermon. But today we're talking about another direction God wants us to look. We need to look down at our Bibles and dig into God's Word. And the sermon you hear at church on Sunday is one way to help you do that. Hopefully you're doing that on your own in other ways throughout the week as well. One of the confessions in the Presbyterian Church is the Second Helvetic Confession written in 1562 in Switzerland. Here's what it says about the Bible. "We believe and confess the scriptures of both testaments to be the true Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God." That doesn't mean that anything the preacher says is true, but it does mean that preaching that is faithful to God's Word is God's Word for us today. Look at our text today, and you'll find 5 reasons why God's Word is so important in our lives. The text I'm reading is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. "But as for you," verse 14, in contrast to the evildoers of verse 13, "but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Now, that was written in the first century, but it certainly is relelevant to us today. So, 5 reasons why God's Word is so important in our lives from those verses. First, It helps us continue in what we have learned and believed. Chapter 3, verse 14. I must confess that since I've been going to church all my life, there is not that much new news in sermons that I've heard or preached myself. But I still need to hear it again and again because, as the hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I need help in continuing in what I've learned and believed. Christianity is not about raising your hand or signing a decision card to get your name on the roll and then disappearing into the woodwork. It's about continuing in what you've been taught. From where did Timothy learn the truth? Verse 15 says, from infancy. We read in chapter 1, verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. What about you? Were you taught the truth from childhood? If so, don't leave behind what you were taught. Yes, we grow up and have ways of making it our own and making it more meaningful to our own generation, but don't betray the truth. God's word is important because it helps you continue in what you have learned and believed. Secondly, God's word is important because it teaches us about salvation through faith in Christ. Chapter 3, verse 15. What were the sacred writings mentioned in this verse? Paul was referring to the Old Testament, what we call now the Old Testament. So both testaments, in their own way, point us to faith in Christ. Why do we need salvation? Because of our sin. Where do we find salvation? In Christ. How do we get that salvation? Through faith. That's the message that's repeated over and over in both testaments. So does the Bible contain science, history, and ethics? Yes, at times, but its main purpose is not that. Its main purpose is theological, to point us to salvation in Christ. Third reason God's word is so important, chapter 3, verse 16, it is inspired by God. All scripture is, the Greek word used here is theopneustos, or God breathed out. We tend to say it's inspired by God, but it's really not inspired so much as it's expired from God. God's breathing out. Now, it was written by human beings. There are 66 books in our Bible written over some 1,500 or so years, long centuries, all written by human beings in different times and places with different literary styles, different points, but its ultimate origin is in God. Like Jesus, it is fully human and fully divine and trustworthy. So only the books of the Bible, those 66 books in the Old and New Testaments, can we say are inspired by God in that sense. God breathed out and written for us. Now, why were they written and for what use? That brings us to the next reason that God's word is so important. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Four things. Okay, think about the four things he lists there. The first two pertain to doctrine or creed, teaching and rebuking. The second two pertain to life or conduct, correcting, training in righteousness. Okay, and there are two positives and two negatives. The first one is positive, teaching, communicating theological truth about what to believe. Here's what you need to believe. We learn that from teaching in God's word. That's so important. Some churches have forsaken teaching. In so doing, they're not communicating the truth of God's word. We need to hear that. We need to know that teaching. And then the negative, reproof, refuting doctrinal error. Okay? There's such a thing as doctrinal truth, such a thing as doctrinal error. And you only know the truth from the error, the true from the false, the teaching from the reproof by following God's word. Now, that's about what we believe. What about how we live? There's also a negative and a positive. The negative, correction, keeping us from errors in personal conduct. And then the positive, training in righteousness, teaching us the right way to live. Now, I'm not saying that the Bible has an answer to every question you want to ask. Should I buy a car this year? If I do, should it be brand new? What features should it have? What color should it be? All kinds of questions we have in our lives. The Bible doesn't give us specific answers to every specific question, but it does teach us principles that we can use literally in every part of our lives. It's only through the diligent study of Scripture that everyone who belongs to God, not just ministers or elders, but everyone who belongs to God can be equipped for every good work. That's what Paul says there. Or as Eugene Peterson put it in The Message, through the Word, we are put together and shaped for the task God has for us. So that only happens through the Bible. That's why God's Word is so important to us. And then the fifth reason, it's hard to do when people reject it, but it's the only message from God that we've got. Now, of course, the ultimate Word of God is Jesus. He is God. But the written Word, the Bible that we have, witnesses to who Jesus is and how Jesus wants us to live, what we should believe and how we should live. It's really the only written message from God that we've got. Now, there are many reasons why people reject God's Word today. For one, there is an authority crisis. Each person feels like they should find their own way and do what's right in their own eyes. Remember the book of Judges? That was what it says that happened in the book of Judges, and people lived in great sin and did not have victory because everybody was just doing what was right in their own eyes. That's kind of a description of our day. You know, I don't like anyone else telling me what to do. So I don't even want the Bible. I don't even want God telling me what to do. But only God comprehends all of reality and can tell us how to live our lives. It's just a matter of recognizing who God is, who I am, and then submitting to God. God, I don't like it. I want to run my life, but I submit, you know better than I do, and I need to listen to you. When God's Word tells me what to do, it's telling me what is most pleasing to God, and in the long run, what is most beneficial to me. Again, Eugene Peterson in The Message, he paraphrased verses 3-5 like this. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. But you, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. I think that that's a very relevant message for our own day. But it gives me some comfort that it was written to describe the first century. Sometimes I get discouraged and think that things are as bad as they've ever been, but sin has been around a long time since the Garden of Eden, and it grips us all, and eventually it will be completely overcome by the power of God and Jesus Christ. That's our hope. One noted preacher has written, on the day of judgment, preachers will not be asked where they went to seminary or where they earned any advanced degrees. They will not need to present membership statistics or submit their church's annual budgets. It will not matter how popular they were or whether they could make people laugh. Instead, when they stand before the heavenly tribunal, they will be asked, did you preach the word? Think about it like this. When you miss one Sunday at church, at your church, you have really missed a part of God's word that you need to keep you believing and living right. And then let's take it a step further. You need to be looking into God's word every day for yourself. Just think how weak you would be physically if you only ate one meal for 1 hour per week. And that was the only meal you ever got. You need to be like the Bereans in Paul's day. Acts 17:11 says, they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Isn't that great? You need to be eager to receive your pastor's message on Sunday mornings, but also the Word of God's message to you every day. And then you need to examine it. Wherever you're being fed from God's Word, whether it's your pastor or somebody that you listen to online or me, you need to take what we all say and then test it by the Scriptures. Is that really true? Is that really what the Bible says? Now, you may not have all the knowledge or training that your pastor might have or some famous speaker on the internet, but you do need to search the Scriptures for yourself. That's the only way you're going to grow in your own faith. Remember, God wants us to look up, worship God. But God also wants us to look down and dig into God's Word. Now, join me next week, and we'll talk about the third way God wants us to look. God wants us to look out so that we care for each other. Please join me next week.